you, Tim.
Yes, sir.
And we'll go ahead and dismiss the young folks for Children's Church. And if they're good, we'll let them come back, okay? When we think about a new year, when we all got up this morning, hopefully none of us sinned during the night. That means we had a clean slate when we got started this year. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, which was a church with real serious problems, writing to them, he said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And that's how this day started for each one of us. You know, this year is a clean white sheet. Most of us don't know exactly what we're going to do this year. Oh, we might have a few plans along the way, and whether or not God agrees with those plans is up to Him. But this year has all the potential of any year you've ever lived. God can use you. Next Sunday, we're going to look at the purpose of God. But for today, I would like us to think about everything being new and think about what we are going to do with this year. I don't know where this last year went. I really don't. All of a sudden, it was gone. And there were a few months during the year that I don't know what happened those months. They just disappeared. But think of the potential that you have for this year. You could go on a mission trip. You say, "I'm too old to do that," or "I can't afford to do that." If God calls you, you can afford it because He will pay for it. He does. You could help somebody, someone who really needs some help during this year. You could provide a warm place for someone to live or stay who might be homeless or might be in a dire situation. You know, you might even be able to feed some people who need some food, as some of you have done in this past year. That blessing box out there is getting to be a pretty popular place. And we see folks cleaning it out. There was a fellow came in this morning and got some stuff. And that's real ministry. That's the kind of ministry that Jesus did for the people that He ministered to. It wasn't just words. He met their needs. And you can be used of God in this new year to do the same. If you're saved this morning, then God did not save you to serve yourself. He saved you to serve somebody else. Wonder who that person might be. I know of an organization in North Carolina that could use the help of everybody sitting here in this auditorium. The name of the organization is Operation Renewed Hope. My wife and I worked with them down in Mississippi after Hurricane Katrina. They were just getting started then. Now they minister all over the world. And you could help something like that. Your potential is unlimited. Your potential is whatever God wants it to be. The problem is that many times we limit our potential. We say, oh, I can't do that. Or I don't have time to do that. Or I don't have the ability to do that. Or I don't have the finances to do that. And folks, that's not part of God's opportunity. My wife and I served the Lord in many different places in the world during the years that we were missionaries. And I'll tell you something. When we went out on our first missionary assignment, when we went to our first mission organization, we had not been around to churches looking for support. We simply loaded up the car, sold everything we had, gave what was left over to our sons, telling them that that was their inheritance. Mom and Dad were missionaries. And we went. If you've never read the biography of George Mueller of England, read it. He never asked a man for anything. He simply ministered and asked God to provide. When he went home to be with the Lord, he was caring for over 10,000 orphans in England and feeding them every day and housing them. He started off with 4. God is able to permit you to do anything he wants you to do. And he's ready to call. I know that our church does more than the average local ministry. But what I want you to understand this morning is that we can do much more. We have opportunities all around us that God has provided for us to be involved in. We've been asked to come hold services once a week in a nursing home. Any of you interested in that? Folks, I hope that you realize, I hope that you know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, because that's got to be the beginning. Having him in your heart, having called out to God at some point and say, God, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve it, but save me. May your Holy Spirit come into my heart. May he rebirth my soul. And that's the starting point. And from when he does that, and he will, is there anything that God would refuse to do that is in his word? No. He'll do whatever he has put in his word. It says, whosoever shall call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, shall be saved. Would God refuse to save you if you called out to him? Of course not. He couldn't. He'd be breaking his word. And when you call out to him, then your sin is taken care of, just like we had the communion service this morning to start. The shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ covers our sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. His blood covers your sin if you ask him to do that. His body was broken for us. God is prepared to call you to a particular service for him in this coming year. You visitors don't know how I like to ask questions. And the reason I ask questions is so it goes to your heart. The question is for you. It's not for our people. It's for all people, myself included. What are your goals for this year? But Pastor, I haven't had time to sit down and think about this yet. What are your goals for this year? Have you made up a goal? Well, I want to serve the Lord. I want to be closer to God. You say, well, that doesn't sound like much fun. Folks, it's the most exciting thing that'll ever happen to your life. Because God has got stuff for you to do. There is no one No one sitting in this room this morning who he cannot use, and that he does not have a goal for you. Have you asked him? You know, without goals, it's impossible to accomplish much. It's sort of hard to hit a target when you don't have one. I'm not asking you to do anything special for the church. The church doesn't need it. We're just a place where we fellowship together. We learn a little bit about God each time we come. I hope we do. I'm asking us, all of us, to do something for him. To do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. To follow the leading of God's Holy Spirit that is living within our heart. Maybe something you've never done before. God wants to have a special relationship between him and each one of us. In 1 John 2, 7 and 8, it says, "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth." Everyone who knows the Lord Jesus Christ is supposed to be the light of the world. The light is supposed to be in you. It's supposed to be radiating out of your life. It's shining for the lost souls around you, the lost souls that you're going to come in contact with throughout this year. And the light is supposed to shine so that the lost people in this world can find a safe harbor. If you know Jesus Christ, you found a safe harbor. But it was because someone was the light that led the way for you. In order to permit that light to shine, we need to get our priorities straight. And that's something that habitually we get confused. Habitually, and it's so easy, I like hugs, I like to touch. The reason is because you're all real. With God, it's hard to touch Him. It's hard to hug Him. It's hard to establish a relationship with Him. And so we do what's natural. We put family first, ahead of God. Oh, I wouldn't do that. Oh, yes, you would. Family comes to visit. They get there late. Keep you from going to church. You go to church anyway? No. Stay home. Provide for family. That's not wrong in a way. But it's not right either. If God is the most important person in our life, then He should be first in our life, ahead of everybody else. And if we are truthful with ourselves, and that's very important, folks, that we be truthful with ourselves. Yourself is the worst person in the world to lie to. And we do that. I can verify it. I've done it. You've done it. But we are told by Jesus, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Jesus also told His followers, if anybody loved mother or father or brother or sister more, they're not worthy of Him. God is supposed to come first. Now, you're doing pretty good this morning because you're already here. You're putting them first. I hope you're here to experience His Holy Spirit in your heart. But there are those who put family first. And if family interrupts their relationship with God, it stays interrupted. I've seen so many disappointments over the years because family gets priority over God. And what happens? I've seen this, and you've probably heard about it, and if you know many servants of the Lord or missionaries or people involved in God's service, you've probably seen it too. People put family first ahead of God. And so the children growing up in the house see this. And that's the standard that gets set. Family first, then God. And so as the children grow up, they see this. And they say, well, Mom and Dad really don't put God first, so I'm not going to put God first. And when they get into their teen years, sometimes they rebel. Many times they go away from the Lord. And it's very unusual for them to come back. I have talked over the 50 years that I've been in ministry, I have talked to so many parents whose hearts are broken because their kids went away from the Lord and they don't understand why. Well, we were always in church. No, not always. Family got put first. And so that set the wrong priority. God is supposed to be first. We are starting a new year. Can we, as his children, make him first in our life? We could, if we wanted to, if we thought about it. Title of the message, it's in the bulletin, is All Things New. That would be new for a lot of us. This is a brand new year, and God can be put first. God can be put first ahead of family and loved ones, ahead of selfishness and our plans. God can be the number one priority in our life if he's put first. But that's the real problem, people. He doesn't get put first. We put so many other things first. We put convenience first. We place the desires of loved ones ahead of God's will. We put our own plans ahead of God's plans. You say, oh, we wouldn't do that. Oh, wouldn't we? I know nobody here has ever done this, but if you ever made plans for a trip and then you start asking God to bless it, instead of having God make plans for the trip. We do. I went on vacation this year because I thought I needed it. Selfishness, yes. And I was praying that God would bless my time on this vacation. I had certain goals that I needed to reach, wanted to reach for him. But it was really my plan. You know what? I came home with COVID. Now, do you think that was an accident, or think that that was maybe a red flag that God was trying to communicate with me about something? You ever had something like that happen? Yeah. There are actually times when we all make our own plans to satisfy somebody or family or a loved one. And then we pray for God to bless those plans. Rather than let God call those plans or establish those plans to begin with. God has a plan for you for this year. Now that plan involves one of two things. And people don't like to talk about this, but I'm going to talk about it. That plan either involves you doing what he wants you to do for this year and celebrating next New Year's. Or what if his plan was, this was going to be your last year on this earth? How do you want to spend that year? You want to do it God's way, or you want to do it your way? And folks, there's none of us, doesn't matter what our age is, whether we're 18 or older, maybe 80, maybe older than that. God has a plan for this year, for you. Will you exercise his plan? We all have things we can do. We might think that our health or our circumstances preclude us from doing anything for God because we are just not able physically or financially or situation-wise. And yet God can make all things possible. Is anything impossible for God? See the hands of those who think there's something impossible for God other than sinning. Everybody knows. We all know. God can do anything. The biggest problem that you and I have is thinking that we're worthy of His doing anything for us. Many times. We know who we are. We know what we have done. We don't want anybody else to know, and that's all right. God knows. But He can. He can use you this year. Now, I think probably many of us seated here this morning have read the Bible. Some of us even read it through every year. And we've been doing that for a number of years. So we know a good bit of what it says. As we begin a new year, I'd like for all of us to give some thought to what we could accomplish for the Lord with the time and the opportunities that He's going to put before us. What would God like you to do with the next 364 days? Now, some of you can think the way I think, and you can make up your mind, I'm going to do one good thing a day. So we let somebody out into traffic ahead of us. That's it. All done for today. We let two people out and say, oh, I'm a day ahead. Or we hold a door open for somebody. Now, men, be careful of who you do that for, because some of them will faint. That's never happened to them before. But people, this is a brand new year. Your life can take a completely different direction in this year. For God. Now, you started well this morning. You're sitting among believers. How will you finish out this day? There's 24 hours tomorrow. How will you use those? We do need to talk to God about it. We need to pray. But God is not the only one we need to talk to about that. God the Father. And sometimes we pray in Jesus' name. And that is right. That's what we've been told in the Bible. But you know, there's another person you need to talk to. And that's the person who's living in your heart, in your soul. That's the Holy Spirit. And if you don't talk to Him, you're not going to hear Him when He wants to talk to you. Ever have been talking to somebody and have someone walk up and begin talking to you while you're talking to this other person? You're concentrating on what this other person is saying, and you don't really hear what this other person is saying because you're so busy communicating. That happens with the Holy Spirit. Every day He wants to communicate with you. Every day He wants to be a part of your life. We do need to talk to the Holy Spirit. He's in your heart. if you know Jesus. He's the one who empowers you, and he's there to guide the things that God wants for you. Why not talk to him? When the Holy Spirit gave you the new birth, when he caused you to be born again, you were given the potential to be changed, not outside, but inside. He changed your heart, he changed your wishes, he changed your desires. You weren't enabled to make the changes necessary to be the soul that God wanted you to be. The problem is that for many of us, we do not permit the change to take place. Or we continue to be the old man. And we are told that when we are born again, a new man is within us. You have the potential to be a new person in Jesus Christ. I don't know where the time went this morning. I've only gotten halfway through this message. Anybody mind missing lunch? Okay. No. Couple more verses, and then we'll dismiss. Ephesians 4, 20 through 24 says, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Ephesians 4, 20 through 24. May that be the plan for all of us in this year to come. It'll take some thought, it'll take some time, it'll take some talking to God, to Jesus Christ, and to the Holy Spirit. If you will talk to them, they will communicate with you their desire, their plan for this year. Father, thank you for giving us your word, for giving us your Holy Spirit to guide us, to empower us, to provide for us. Father, may each one here this morning take time to talk with you, to talk with your Holy Spirit. And Father, may each one find the courage to follow his leading wherever it takes them. And Father, may we be truly your children, your servants. And Father, may we have the privilege sometime during this year to lead some other lost person to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might find him as their personal Savior. Thank you, Father, for keeping us here to fulfill that opportunity. May your will be done in each heart, and we will praise you for what you do, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.